Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
We are so glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going through an article that is posted on the LDS Newsroom website. It's an article titled Mormonism 101, Frequently Asked Questions, and it is supposed to be a guide for outsiders to better understand what the LDS Church officially believes. Now, even though in the opening paragraphs it states, as an institution, the church has the responsibility to publicly and clearly articulate its official teachings, we have found, Eric, that you don't have to go very far where all of a sudden the official teachings of the LDS Church become very cloudy and it's difficult to really understand what they believe on this because they use the same words that many other Christian believers use. However, they define those words very differently. So when you read these things with your own presuppositions coming from a what we would call a biblical worldview, it's very easy to not really understand what the LDS Church is trying to say, and it becomes very confusing very quickly.
Well, if you're a Latter-day Saint out there listening to that and saying, well, no, it's very clear, well, I invite you to go on to the site and read along with us as we're talking this through, because we are trying to understand from a non-Mormon point of view what exactly Mormonism is. And here's the church saying, here are some of the fundamentals. And I think you hopefully can see the confusion that we not only feel, but anybody who's a reporter trying to report this accurately. They're trying to do their job, and I don't think that so far what we've seen is really helping.
And we should probably restate that that's one of the reasons this article was put together, was because they feel that journalists, in fact it says reporters, pressed for time, tend to take peripheral aspects of the faith and place them front and center as if they were vital tenets of belief. Additionally, sincere commentators often overemphasize what others see as, quote, different about Latter-day Saints at the expense of highlighting the church's most fundamental doctrines in their reporting. Unfortunately, as many members attest, this kind of journalism paints a distorted picture of the church and continues to confuse the public. But what we find here are statements which tend to exacerbate that confusion. For instance, we were looking at what are the core beliefs of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they had three. We've already looked at point number one. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and the Son of our loving Heavenly Father. And if you want to catch what we said on that, catch yesterday's broadcast. But then it goes on to point number two. Christ's atonement allows mankind to be saved from their sins and return to live with God and their families forever. In looking at that, it says, Mormons view this mortal life as an opportunity to progress and learn by following Christ's teachings, embracing His mercy, and accepting baptism and other sacraments. Mormons believe they are cleansed from sin through Christ's grace and can return to live with God and their families forever. Let me ask you, Eric, if you were to read that sentence and you come across the phrase embracing His mercy, what would that mean to you in this context? Because wouldn't you agree that we look at mercy as being undeserved? There's absolutely nothing you can possibly do, but yet it's saying here that in order to embrace this, you have to follow Christ's teachings, which I am assuming, again, I have to assume because it's not made all that clear in the statement, I have to do these works, or as Mormons would say, you have to keep the commandments, and certainly Mormon leaders have said just that. So would that be confusing?
Well, and the idea of mercy is not receiving what we do deserve, and according to the biblical worldview, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and have come short of God's glory, and Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And what Jesus did on the cross, according to the Christian worldview, is that He died for those who believe in Him would be able to have their sins forgiven and not be punished for what they deserve. And here they're saying they're embracing His mercy, but it's not a in essence, a free gift, as what Christianity has always
taught. Are they embracing his mercy? And that would a Mormon say that if they were to die right now, his mercy would cover all their sins? I don't know many Mormons who would assume that.
Only in the sense of general resurrection, that everybody is going to get a resurrection because they have a body. But it certainly is not talking about exaltation or individual salvation, which must be earned by the Latter-day Saint.
So when you read this sentence all the way through, it says, by following Christ's teachings, embracing his mercy, and accepting baptism and other sacraments, Mormons believe they are cleansed from sin through Christ's grace and can return to live with God and their families forever. But as we pointed out yesterday, in reading what the Book of Mormon says, you have to deny yourself of all ungodliness in order to get this grace. And that doesn't say that here, but that's what the Book of Mormon actually teaches. And as we stated, we don't know of any Mormons who have actually denied themselves of all ungodliness. So how are they really embracing this mercy? I don't know. It goes on to say in point number 3, Christ's original church, as described in the New Testament, has been restored in modern times. Now, Mormons don't often hide the fact that they believe that they are a restoration, but I wonder if many Bible-believing Christians really understand what that all entails. When you look at this statement here, it says that Mormons believe this foundation of one faith was gradually undermined after the death of Christ's apostles. As a result, the original foundation of authority to lead the church was lost and needed to be restored. Today, members preach that the Lord has indeed restored his church with living apostles and prophets, starting with the founding prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Joseph Smith. Do you think when Mormons call us Christian, that they mean that we're Christians like they're Christians?
No.
So wouldn't that also be a term that they need to define in order for them to clearly articulate their official teachings? But yet I find many times Mormons will try to, I don't know if they mean to patronize us, by saying, well, you're a Christian, and they get a little bit upset because we refuse to give that same title to them. And we certainly will not give the title of Christian to the Mormon church. In other words, we don't believe that it is a Christian church. And that upsets a lot of Latter-day Saints. But yet when they use that term, they don't use it the same way that we would use it. Because how many times have you heard the expression, well, we're university, you're just high school? In other words, we have more than you have. We're more Christian than you're Christian. We're getting more from our Christianity than you are getting from your Christianity.
Well, and I think so often the Mormon looks at us as nice people and we follow Christian principles. But if you were to ask that question, when I die, not being a Latter-day Saint, not having gone through your temple and gone through all of the different things that Mormon must do, do I have a chance for exaltation? Can I make it to the very best your religion has to offer, which is the top level of the celestial kingdom? And they have to admit no. And so when you're using these terms that Christ's atonement allows mankind to be saved from their sins, it's not really accurate in the sense that you're going to get the very best possibility that they're going to get, because they certainly don't believe other churches outside of theirs has not only authority, but the ability to have their members be able to become, in essence, gods.
Yeah, because let's be clear about this. In order to achieve the highest level in the celestial kingdom, the Church of the Firstborn, one of the requirements is you have to believe Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. That's absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. When they talk about the New Testament, that their church is the original church is described in the New Testament, and that there needed to be a restoration. This is what it says on page 92 of the 2009 Gospel Principles Manual. The period of time when the true church no longer existed on earth is called the Great Apostasy. Soon, pagan beliefs dominated the thinking of those called Christians. The Roman Emperor adopted this false Christianity as the state religion. This church was very different from the church Jesus organized. It taught that God was a being without form or substance. And then it goes on to say, a couple paragraphs down, it says, it was the Church of Jesus Christ no longer. It was a church of men. Folks, that's what the church officially believes regarding your church. Your church is a church of men. It's not Christ's church. Only the LDS church is Christ's church.
Well, this comes right back to what Joseph Smith was supposedly told by God the Father and Jesus, that all of the churches were wrong and that all their creeds were an abomination. So directly from the Lord's mouth, Joseph Smith gets this, and this is the cornerstone. That first vision account is a cornerstone for this religion based on the idea that the church needed to be restored, and they were the only ones who would have the keys to be able to give the authority for its people to attain salvation.
Now, I speak in churches all over the country, and many times I've been in Sunday morning services with other believers, even of other denominations, and I don't feel uncomfortable in the least joining hands with other believers in other denominations, because there are core beliefs that we share where I can feel comfortable in that. I can't feel comfortable worshiping with Mormons or because I know they're thinking, I'm a part of this great apostasy. What kind of fellowship can there be in that kind of feeling they have?
And that attitude is prevalent when we go out on the streets of Manti and we're talking to Latter-day Saints, and they want to try to divide the Christians that are out there. And they'll say, so which church you go to? Mm-hmm. And you can tell them the local church you go to. Okay, what church does he go to? And you can tell them about the different denominations. And they'll say, well, see, you guys are all different. What I like to do is pull the other Christian over and say, hey, come on over here. And then I'll start asking questions. So what do you believe about God? And I'll say, well, I agree with that. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about salvation? And they're amazed that on the essential issues, we are right on the same page.
It reminds me of the story that one year when I was out at Manti, I had a Mormon gentleman come up to me, and he was noticing by listening to the various groups of Christians talking to the Mormons out on the streets in Manti, he made the comment to me, he says, I notice in listening to you guys, you are all saying the same thing. It's my people that tend to be saying contradictory things and not even agreeing with one another.
Isn't that true?
And we see that a lot. Well, there is a lot of misunderstanding even within the membership of the LDS Church. So if there's misunderstanding within the membership of the LDS Church, you can imagine how difficult it is for an outsider to try and understand, even though they are told, if you want to know what Mormons believe, go ask a Mormon.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.